Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Roving mic reflection for 2020. Our reporter Fergal Keane reflects on his year out and about meeting people as we all tried to cope with COVID-19. We'll hear about trips to the airport, to remember that, building sites, social welfare offices, the COVID ward of COVID or Cork University Hospital, and people also trying to go about their business during lockdown.
The first warnings came slowly from the other side of the world. But the real issue came home to us in Ireland when the then Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, spoke at an impromptu press conference while he was in Washington prior to St. Patrick's Day.
I need to speak to you about coronavirus and COVID-19. Our own National Public Health Emergency Team met last night and has issued new advice to government. We're acting on that advice today. There will be many more cases. More people will get sick. And unfortunately, we must face the tragic reality that some people will die.
Many countries immediately moved to close their borders, and Dublin Airport became a regular stop for me as we reported here on Drive Time how the pandemic was affecting various people. Here are some US residents desperately trying to get out of Ireland amid widespread flight cancellations.
Sorry, you're about to fly to the States. Could be one of the last flights.
Yeah, I was originally scheduled to go back Monday or Tuesday of next week. And when I woke up to the travel ban, I got kids over there, so I have to get home. So better safe than sorry. Getting home is the only thing that matters right now. So yeah, I came to see me mam. She's not well. And obviously she's got the pre-existing condition that is of a very high risk. So it's extra concerning, yeah.
My original plan was 10 days in Ireland and 4 days in Egypt. I was to leave for Egypt today, return back on St. Patrick's Day, and then I heard that the president saying that the only way I could get out perhaps would be to leave out of London. And with the virus and the scare, I think I'm making the right move just to leave as quickly as I can, and that'll be tomorrow, Aer Lingus.
While schools and pubs closed very early in the pandemic, the construction industry initially stayed open. When I visited building sites in Dublin to speak to workers, I got mixed views on whether or not staying open was the right decision.
We're here at a big site in the city centre. Things should stay open or closed?
You can't do social distancing at all. There's too many people on the site and too many people in the same room.
What would it mean to you if they closed?
Be safe. It's health our wealth.
Close.
Why?
Because it should be, because there's no social distance whatsoever. It's not safe.
We're here at a building, big building inside the city centre. Should they stay open or closed?
Closed.
Why?
It's not safe. It's too much spread. You're walking on top of each other. Too close. You can't keep social distancing on a building site. You need to be walking in tiers with most things you're doing.
What would you do if they closed?
I don't know. Same as everyone else. Isolate.
What about yourself?
Should be closed.
Yeah. And do you have to come into work?
No, we don't. We're not getting forced to come in, but you won't be paid if you didn't come in, so you're better off coming in until you're told not to.
As businesses and industry closed all over the country, 500,000 people went onto various COVID payments. As journalists, we were privileged that we were still able to travel around to speak to people and report on how they felt. At Dublin welfare offices, I met many people who had lost their jobs and were really suffering as they waited for payments to come through. Here are some of them.
Today, I'm waiting for my payment. I applied immediately for the COVID payment. I'm absolutely broke, you know. I'm 1 month without money. I have no money for bills, food, anything like that, you know.
How are you surviving?
I'm not. That's why I'm here. I'm trying to get in, you know, and ask them the questions, what's going on with my payment. I was working in the catering industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I don't believe that, you know, that the industry going to be recovered shortly.
Why are you here today?
There with my son. He works at Toyota. He was let go 4 weeks ago, filled in his COVID-19, he's high risk, and he hasn't received 1 cent in 4 weeks. The last payment that Toyota paid him was the 7th of March. He filled in his COVID-19 like everyone else in the country, but unfortunately, whatever reason, he hasn't had a payment since. Now, he is high risk and shouldn't be leaving the house. That's my son. He's anaphylactic, he's chronic asthma. He shouldn't be outside the house, and yeah, he has to come down here like a beggar looking for some sort of payment. I mean, what is going on?
this is your son here. You actually shouldn't be out and about.
No, I shouldn't be out and about. Now I'm high risk. I have chronic asthma and everything else, so I shouldn't even be down here. But like, I'm waiting now 3-4 weeks to no payment. Like, how are we supposed to live? How are we supposed to provide for ourselves?
I work in the bar trade. The bar trade obviously went down in the 16th. It is now the 7th of April, and I've received no money. I have two young kids. I have not had any money. I have no money to buy anything for. I have to go to my 80-year-old mother to get money loans off every week to buy food for my kids. And I was told last week, came down to them today on the Tuesday, that if I don't get a payment. So I'm here in this queue, and it says now in the window that it's not opened today.
Because I'm waiting over 3 weeks to get paid.
Is that a COVID payment?
Yeah.
They said they paid 500,000 people, but not you.
Not me, no. No, twice. Well, the first week he says they didn't receive the letter. Then I'm only getting off the phone from now, and they're telling me that there's something wrong with the form that I filled out.
How are you surviving?
Struggling. Two kids to look after.
Doesn't work.
No payments, nothing whatsoever. My last day of work was the 12th of last month. As I work in the pub industry, we closed down on the Sunday. My last day was the 12th, which was the Thursday. And I haven't had nothing since then.
What are you saying to the kids?
What can I say? So there's only so much you can say. It's what's the point in lying to my kids? Do you know what I mean? It's not about lying, or it's not about saying anything to my kids. It's a matter of a principle that I should be entitled to what I work. I work to earn a living. Why aren't I getting it?
You've come down here today because you applied for the COVID payment. You're waiting a few weeks.
3 weeks, yeah. They just keep saying it'll be there next week. Last week was next week, but it's not open now, so. Living on loans, and then when you get paid off them, then it's all due. So I don't know what we're going to do.
The health services, meanwhile, were gearing up to an unprecedented level. I visited Cork University Hospital, where Professor Mary Horgan, one of the country's top experts on infectious diseases, showed me around and told me how they were managing COVID.
We meet here at 8:30, and then we'll go in here to the lecture theatre. And what we do is present the patients that came in the night before. Then we'll see the patients that either are suspected or confirmed COVID, and caring for those without COVID, as we always did, diverting those with COVID into pathways so that they get the care they need and the staff are protected.
The hospital here is completely closed. No visitors.
So it's a strange, I suppose, sensation, because normally at, 11:30 in the morning, this would be hugely busy with people coming in to x-rays. The mammography unit is just upstairs. People are coming in for chemo. The cardiology tower and renal tower is over here. So it's a hive of activity.
We're going to take a walk around.
Yeah. What we would do is come up on the elevator here
to the fifth floor
of the cardiac renal tower. And just at the very end of the corridor is where the cardiothoracic ICU is. Now, prior to COVID, that was people who were undergoing lung surgery and cardiac surgery, heart surgery. But you have to be strategic in how you use your resources. So this is now identified as the COVID intensive care unit or critical care unit.
Okay, it's just behind these doors. We're not allowed in?
No, we're not allowed in. I can go in because I have all the proper security clearance to get in.
This is here. The COVID ward says a high risk isolation, essential staff only. It's crowded.
Yeah, it's crowded. People have to, once go inside the door here, they have to gown. It's crowded but socially spaced. But what we do is intensively treat all of the patients who require oxygenation in here. So when you come in, this is the one ward that probably has a lower oxygen requirement. We go to other units upstairs where they have higher oxygen requirement. And you can see here the x-ray machine coming out. X-rays are really important means of us seeing how patients are when they come in, but also what they're doing. So this is one of the radiographers some of the house doctors here coming out, waiting for the x-rays to come back to see how their patients are doing.
Going in and out of here, people are just getting dressed just inside the door.
Just inside the door, they get dressed. It's a ritual in many respects, and you will see how we do that. Put on the gown first, then put on a hairnet, put on the mask, the goggles, and lastly, the gloves. And what's really important is that you have a body to see that you're doing it properly. We need to have all the boxes ticked so we make sure we're protected. So we watch each other's backs, literally.
Looking into the wards here.
Yeah, so looking into the ward behind the closed doors, there's glass on the door so we can see the activity going on. So there's everyone from the ward sister, the staff nurses, the care assistants and the cleaners, all of whom are essential. I can't speak highly enough about the cleaners because it's essential that everything is cleaned down after somebody exits a room and somebody else comes in into a room.
Elsewhere in CUH, the hospital manager, Brendan O'Reilly, told me how they'd built a room specially for staff who felt under severe pressure. They called it the wobble room.
Well, the wobble room is just one of the investments we're making in our staff to protect them in the event that they have very hard decisions to make. It was planned when we were expecting a very big surge and there might have been harder decisions. But of course, we can't predict how it's going to go. Currently, it's been quite stable and we're doing very well. But we still want to have this area to invest in them and make sure they're safe and they have a quiet place to come to reflect and consider their decisions and that type of thing.
So at that time, back in April, how did Professor Mary Horgan see things panning out?
That big surge or the big tidal wave that we were hoping wouldn't happen hasn't happened. But saying that, when restrictions are lifted, you may get another wave.
Dr. Mary Horgan in CUH, and how right she was. Back in Dublin Airport, I again and again met people desperately trying to get out of the country.
How many flights were cancelled? We've had three or four flights from EasyJet cancelled. British Airways let us book flights and then took our money and then wouldn't let us fly. Cancelled the flights yesterday. And they're still selling flights even though... So we've just travelled to Ryanair. So I'm trying to go to Gatwick. So my friend, my colleague's here, he's getting the travel but I'm not. So.
Colleague said, I think EasyJet have grounded all their flights. So we had flights from Belfast Sunday, Monday... cancelled, and obviously the Tuesday and Wednesday ones were cancelled too, so we rebooked through British Airways, but we're cancelled yesterday out of city. We're trying to get to work, you know.
I tried to go in France, but my flight are cancelled a lot of time. I leave Chicago Sunday. I was in holidays. Now I don't know.
You're just sitting here in the airport. Do you have somewhere to go?
No, my flight normally is tomorrow. I hope it's not cancelled too, because I buy sea tickets in all. 3,000 euro for come back in home, yes.
It's been less than ideal for sure. And it's hard to see all the people here trying so hard to help you. I can tell, like, everybody's just stressed. Like, some are like, I've basically seen the airline people like almost in tears because they want to help people, but there's just everybody's stuck. Everybody's in a jam right now. And it's been quite the ordeal. If we knew it was going to be like this, we would have just stayed.
It was a really long one. It's been like 4 days of travel. The hardest part was getting from where we were into Peru to Lima. After that, it was actually fine. British Airways and Aer Lingus, so just happy to be here now.
It was a stressful 2 weeks, just waiting every day for an email. Nothing. Finally, the Irish government came through and we were home.
It was a bit scary because we didn't really know what was going on. We couldn't really go outside, go for walks or anything. We could just literally go to the shop and come back. But, I mean, it could have been worse. We had a nice Airbnb, so we can't really complain.
Definitely we heard some stories where the locals thought we kind of brought the virus, so that wasn't great. But luckily we were in a great area, so we were okay.
We weren't able to leave the hostel unless it was for essentials. So we were allowed to go for groceries and medicines and to get cash from the bank, that kind of thing. But besides that, we had to stay indoors. Sometimes we were told to go and stay in our rooms if the police were going to come and do a check, because officially we're supposed to be in our rooms.
Yeah, we were living in Perth, but we've been in Australia for the last year and a half. We lost our jobs, so we had to come home.
Grim, not going to lie. But the way things are now, is best decision I had is to come home, you know, financially speaking as well. But it's not the end, I suppose. I'll go back out again as soon as all this gets lifted, whenever that may be.
The flight was packed. Yeah, that was a bit stressful, sitting so close to people. But no, it was really packed, full of Irish trying to get home. Yeah. But it was fine, and they were brilliant. Everything ran on time, and we managed to get here in one piece, thankfully.
away from hospitals, airports and even Golfgate, I met many ordinary people just trying to make the best of it. And earlier in the year, at least the good weather helped.
It's a bit of a struggle, but starting to get a bit cabin fever in the house now. But you just want to get out and get a walk, and the weather's good. It's a kind of a help, you know. Other than that, you'd be going crazy.
It's getting very boring.
It is, but everything seems to be repetitive. You know, you do the same thing every day, and you don't have a real purpose for getting up. Yeah. You know, just so you know you're going to go for your walk, or it's a thrill to go for your shopping. That's terrible to say.
And the queues for the shops, half an hour for most of them?
Well, I was in Dunn's this morning at 8:30, and the queue is already in the square, like, you know, already down around the, through the shopping centre. But it moves fairly quickly, you know what I mean? But at least the weather's good. At least you can sit out your back or listen to the radio, is that, you know what I mean? Listen to Sean O'Rourke.
Do you have elderly parents, elderly relatives?
Yes, I have mother. She's 80. So I just did her shopping now as well. So I'm doing her other stuff now, and then I'm going to bring her shopping up to her. Because she can't come out at all either, you know what I mean?
Nobody can go to see her?
No, just sit outside on the wall talking to her. It's heartbreaking. You know, it really is, especially for her, because she's a widow, she's on her own. That's a hard part. But sure, what can you do? Like, you know, you just have to get on and just obey the rules and get on. Please, God, it'll be over soon.
Yeah, it's just, well, everyone's just mucking in. You know, the customers are great and they understand that we can only get so many people in, 2-3 people in at a time. You know, you hard to have people stand outside in the rain, of course. Yeah. And the weather's been kind to us. But they're starting to understand that we all have to muck in. You know, we all have to look after each other. And the people understand there's a bit pandemic out there. And, you know, we have to all muck in together and look after each other.
3 weeks into it now, yes. I did a few things around the house, but now everything is more or less done that I can do. And I'm just out strolling now just to try and pass another hour or so.
Everywhere there's queues. It's just horrible. Horrible now.
I'm 72.
You're not supposed to be out.
Oh, sure, no, that I snuck out, but the Gardaí were down there doing a road check yesterday, watching out for sneakers like me.
Like you.
But I mean, what do? I have to get out. You know, I just have to get out. I need all that stuff, just like young people, middle-aged or whatever need. I need them as well.
The garden never looked so good. Pristine at the moment, so.
Yeah.
In the early days, it was starting to freak me out, and even dreams, silly dreams, you know, apocalyptic type dreams.
And that was Drive Time reporter Fergal Keane ending that report with a man who was having weird dreams during this nightmare year for so many of us.